T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
Speaking of unique.
Speaking of iPads.
Yeah. Our good friend and colleague, Dan Bernstein, he has a way with words, but when he gets going on something, it just gets very Bernstein. It really washes all over us, his descriptions of Luis Robert earlier today.
They're so intelligent. Luis Robert is... That is a handsome man. I mean, just look at how symmetrical his facial features are. The guy's a damn statue. Luis Robert is just his image. Either just looking at him.
Oh, geez, look at the butt on that.
Yeah. He must work out.
He's like an idealized baseball machine or something.
He's not a machine. He's a man.
630. Get over your Luis Robert love. Jeez, creepy. Don't you dare tell me not to enjoy this. Don't you dare.
How dare you, sir?
I want you to enjoy every bit of his symmetrical face, Dan.
Yes, leave Dan alone as he fawns over a muscular young 23-year-old outfielder. I can't dispute anything that was said. He does have that Hollywood jut jaw.
Have you ever stared into his eyes? Was it the first time I heard the Beatles?
His complexion is very smooth. He is a very good-looking guy. Bernsey beat me to this one.
Which is surprising. That's an upset in and of itself.
Right. Frankly. Usually I'm the Dan on the staff who fawns all over other men.
Now, I think that you're in love with him.
Symmetrical facial features. Don't you dare tell me not to enjoy this. Don't you dare.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Dan Bernstein, the leader in the clubhouse for enjoying Luis Robert? I'm not sure. Make it a pretty strong case.
Boy, it's hard to top any of that stuff from yesterday morning. I hear every show on the station a little bit almost every day, and I know Luis Robert is getting rave reviews. Everybody seems to like the lad, but I've not heard anybody rival Bernstein's fondness for him.
At least not his face. He's a remarkable baseball player. You'd say, I don't know how anyone could have a bad word to say about the guy right now. So I guess Dan is the leader in the clubhouse there. Although Tanny has a segment of him on the Locked On Sox podcast dedicated only to Luis Robert.
Oh yeah, what a great decision by us to do that. People are eating up the Luis Robert content, so it's a good move by us.
Well done. People should subscribe, rate, and review Herb and Tanny.
Yoan Moncada is a handsome dude too.
He's got a good baseball face.
I think that was part of Bernsey's point. He said that they're all just telegenic. He's a fan of all of them. And
I don't know about all of them. I would have to disagree with him on all of them.
No man crush for Evan Marshall. Come on, man.
Does it work for you? Hey man, I have no idea. How many runs per game are the White Sox going to need to produce for none of this stuff about the starting pitching to matter? 6.5?
It always matters, Danny. I don't care how short the season is. It always matters.
Yeah. It will catch up to you at some point.
Although, if you can eke by and get us to the playoffs where it matters a little bit less, and it's more even more so about the variance and randomness and shorter pitching staffs, maybe. But, yeah, I think I like to think in my baseball heart that it's always going to matter.
It was their fifth straight win last night and a six-pack of relief fishers. Foster, Fry, C-Sheck, Detweiler, Marshall, and Colome got the job done. They bailed out Carlos Rodon. And, you know, not without some struggle. There's some hitters in that Milwaukee lineup. And you know, for the most part, White Sox pitchers won those battles last night. Very exciting baseball game. And we were 3 out of 4 last night at the wagering window, Parkins. The only loser we had was an underdog. That's what I get for playing an underdog. I thought Zach Plesac, and Zach pitched very, very well, was a good play at plus 145 against the Cincinnati Reds. They were throwing Sonny Gray. That was a real good 3-2 ball game. I monitored it as it was going along, hoping the Indians would put some runs on the board for Plesac. That's two straight starts now for the kid where he hasn't had any help. But that was our only loser. We had the White Sox. We had the Cubs. Actually, we had the Cubs twice because Shep double bet them. Shep, you can bet all you want. Just let me know so I don't put any more on one of the moves you've already made. So we double bet the Cubs last night. We had them as a minus 153 and as a minus 158.
Wow. We are a well-oiled machine over here, aren't we?
I love us. Yeah.
That is incredible. Well, I have a – listen, win it twice then. That's good. We were that confident at any price. The White Sox has an underdog. Like if they're going to survive – Kopech opting out, Rodon being hurt, maybe his last game in a White Sox uniform, Lopez being hurt. They're going to need to win the Giolito and Keuchel starts.
Yep.
Giolito goes today as an underdog against the Brewers. If you believe that the first start was an aberration and he got it locked in and he's going to be that all-star ace-caliber pitcher the rest of the way that he was in the second outing this year and he was for the vast majority of last year, you're not going to get many opportunities with the White Sox offense to have Lucas Giolito as an underdog. Is that a should that be an auto play for us? Giolito plus money?
Yeah, I'm moving on that one tonight. I don't love it because Brandon Woodruff is working on an extra day's rest, and he was really good in his last start against the Pirates. He struck out 9. He's off to a very good start this year. But the White Sox can hit, and you're right. There aren't going to be many opportunities. I saw them at plus 115 a few minutes ago. So we're going to jump on that and hope that Giolito picks up where he left off last Wednesday night in that win against the Indians when he went 6 solid innings and got out of some trouble when he needed to. So the Cubs are a little bit too rich tonight with Kyle Hendricks on the mound. They are minus 220. So I am inclined to stay off of that unless you want to fiddle with the total. 7.5 is the total in the ball game.
No, I'm good on that. And Joe Ostrowski, by the way, has another special edition of Early Odds coming up right at 6. Just a
special
brief
show.
Yeah, just to get you ready. A little build a bridge until Cubs pregame with Zach Zaidman at 6:15. I'm not interested in anything in the Cubs game. I am interested in Giolito at plus money. I told you yesterday about my Brad's son, my 14-year-old nephew, Mr. NBA. He knows more about the NBA than just about anybody I know. It's including myself. It's insane how much this kid knows. He's 4-1 against the spread since the NBA restart. He likes the Pacers on the money line tonight. They're a 1.5, 2-point underdog against Orlando. If you've got any interest in following the advice of a hot 14-year-old gambler who is just, I'm just so proud of him. Mac, I'm just.
Oh,
I'm
you
just,
should be. Yes,
I'm so proud of my.
Oh,
nephew.
Wait till he gets suspended from school for the first time.
I'll pick him up. It'll be great. I'm very, very proud of him. So I'm interested in that, and then I'm very interested in if they've posted, and I haven't checked the total for the Hawks game tomorrow night because Corey Crawford's looking a little slow, and the Oiler goalies don't look like they got much of an answer for the Hawks, and Connor McDavid. He's pretty fast and good, so if they're going to post that at 6 or even 6.5 again, Feels like an easy fire for us on the over in the
Hawks. Only question I had were your netminders.
I think overs are good plays in this series. You have two very potent offensive clubs. You also have an ice surface that is giving a lot of weird hops, and sometimes that doesn't go the way of the offensive players, where the puck just doesn't settle because the ice is being beaten to death from all these games that are being played on it. But it sure didn't stop them from going over easily last night. Those numbers are always 5.5, 6. At the most, it would be 6.5. I've never seen a hockey total higher than 6.5. So, I'm inclined to go over on that one as well tomorrow night. And, no, I didn't make it until the bitter end last night.
I'm not going to shame you for that.
Well, I mean, you can if you want. I mean, my feelings won't be hurt. I think that's Shep's department, though, shaming me for going to bed during playoff hockey.
I have no interest in fan shaming Big Chief Mack Hawk for a 12-5 game. Like, that doesn't – what does that do? You woke up and you watched today. Now, did you have texts from friends? Did you have a score?
When I woke
app?
Up at 3:30 in the morning to go to the bathroom, I checked the score. Yeah, I saw the final score, but I finished the game this morning.
Man, so okay, that would bum me out. That does bum. That makes me a little bit more judgmental of you going to sleep. Like, it's playoff hockey. You might only have two more of these things this year with your squad in there. I would think you'd want to watch it with some level of enjoyment or question.
I do,
of the,
and I do enjoy it, but I also sleep.
No, I know, but even knowing the outcome, you're enjoying playoff hockey for your squad, knowing the outcome. For me personally, that takes away so much of the enjoyment of sports. One of the maybe the top thing that I love about sports is that it's actually reality TV. It's unscripted drama. No one knows the outcome. It's why it's like the most valuable property in television and radio, because the vast majority of people don't DVR it. I know you do for time purposes and sleep and that sort of thing, but if you're watching sports, most people, 90-something percent, are watching it live. So if I know the outcome, it does take away a lot of my personal enjoyment.
Yeah, I get that. I understand why you would feel that way. And I don't mean to be so callous about it, but it is business as much as it is anything. Not playoff hockey, but when it comes to baseball, man, when you've got to watch two teams, and I last night live, just tickled to be a part, you know, watch that thing for almost 4 hours. That White Sox game was very, very good. I never felt like it was a marathon baseball game, and when is this damn thing going to end? But most nights, I will opt for a movie and watch the baseball game in the morning, and I don't care. If I can know the outcome, that's fine with me. I'm still going to watch it for academic purposes as much as anything. It's more for show content than it is for personal pleasure when it comes to baseball, although that has changed a little bit lately because this baseball angel has continued to sit on my shoulder and sing lovely songs in my ear. And when the two teams are winning, that makes it easy for me. It's not easy when they're bad. Look, Spiegel and I did 5 summers together, Danny. That's 10 baseball teams, 10 baseball seasons between the two. Twice we had a team with a record above 500. That's 2 out of 10. So it's tough for me to stay interested when the teams are bad. But right now they're both going very well. The Cubs with the best record in the National League and the White Sox, a playoff team. As of today, so we'll see how long they can hang in there with the absence of depth in the starting rotation. But as good as the bullpen has been, and as potent as they are offensively, I think they're going to be in a lot of damn games this year. And hopefully, they can stay virus clear for the most part. As well as I continue to root for that for the Cubs, as every team in baseball, it hasn't affected us yet from a scheduling standpoint. The first time it does. It's an indirect way is this coming Friday night when the Cubs catch the Cardinals coming off of a long break, and I think that plays into the Cubs' favor.
If the Cardinals get cleared to play,
right?
That is not a guarantee, but that is the tentative schedule for that. And Mac, by the way, I don't shame anyone for how they watch or don't watch or care, like level of caring. It's sports. It's fun. It's recreational activity. I'm just saying for you personally, so it doesn't surprise me at all that you'll watch a movie to unwind at the end of the night and then you'll watch baseball to fast forward for the education of the show. I respect your hustle on that. You've said the only team you don't bet against is the Hawks. That's the only team you still have that pure fandom for. And so the fact that they are in the playoffs on this weird technicality, you took off your fishing vacation so you could be here for the Hawks in the playoffs. It surprises me a little bit that you don't want to watch that like through the eyes of a fan with not knowing the outcome of the game. There's no shame attached to it. I'm just a little surprised given how much Big Chief Mackhawk loves his playoff hockey. By the way, are you worried? Like last night, felt like it played a little bit more to form of the quality of the teams, right? It's the best duo of any team in the NHL, the best player in the NHL. They completely outskated the Hawks. They had them on their heels. They got out to an early lead and never really let up. Hawks made the comeback, but it felt like Edmonton was in control from the start, 17 shots on goal in the first period. Now it's a best of three, and hockey is random, and Corey Crawford could play his way into shape, and anything can happen, but do you feel like the Hawks are between a rock and a hard place here after last night?
No, I never feel that way at one game aside. You know, hockey is the weirdest thing in the world to predict. In a typical season, it's difficult to project this. I had a friend of mine who was kind of mad at me because there was a three-way exchange. Several of us who have thoughts on wagering college football and pro football, Rayleigh, they wanted my thoughts on the Hawks the other day, and I didn't even reply. And I said, we've had this conversation before, dudes. It makes no sense to try and project which team is going to win. They were wanting thoughts on betting the series. And it's like, you know, it's a coin flip. It always is. It's the only sport of the majors where an 8 seed going in is really, really capable of upsetting a 1 seed and then wind up getting to the conference finals and sometimes even the final. The LA Kings did it in the last 10 years. The team the Hawks beat 10 years ago was a 7 seed in the final, Philadelphia. So it's too difficult to predict, and I think the Hawks have enough offensive firepower where I won't write them off, and Jonathan Toews is playing very, very well. It should be noted during these playoffs, and they got a big game in game one from several players who didn't play up to that same level last night. So hopefully they will be smarter. I saw some lackluster play. Nylander made a really, really boneheaded play, and I thought Mata got caught spectating on McDavid's second goal, which was a wonderful goal, but you're not going to stay up with him if you don't move your skates.
There is a little baseball news to pass along, by the way. They keep changing rules every 2 or 3 days in baseball. The rosters they were supposed to go from 30 to 28 to 26 as it moves throughout the season. The players' union and owners have agreed to lock it in at a 28-man roster, including for the postseason, which some traditionalists will have a little bit of an issue with. I'm already seeing that. On social media, they're saying they want to, you know, have more flexibility as teams have dealt with the problems of keeping a full roster on the field and staying healthy. And I don't have any problem with the spirit of that. I get why, you know, the Joe Sheehan's and Rainey Gisarelli's and the baseball purists of the world would say, come on, you keep changing all of these rules and you're changing it on the fly.
Exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. That's they're trying to get they. Here's the news flash. They want to get to the postseason. That's it.
Traditionalists.
That's what it is. They want to get to the playoffs to get that playoff money with their expanded postseason. They are willing to do basically anything to your all grand old game in order to get there. They don't care what it takes.
I kind of like it.
They want that money.
I kind of like it that the people who regard all of baseball as this sanctum are having a crap all over them this year. They're playing 7 inning. What? Yeah, fellas.
Just
7 inning doubleheaders. Sorry, don't like it.
Yeah, don't worry about it in this season. This season is unlike any other season. Just put it in its own category, put it in its own corner, and enjoy it or not for what it is. But it's just, this is weird. That's where we are. I want to talk about which team has a better chance of overcoming their fatal flaw, the Cubs with their bullpen or the Sox with their rotation coming up. And it looks like we have some news that's going to affect every parent of a kid who goes to a Chicago public school. I'll give that to you coming up on this.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Score. Mackie Parkins on the score. Joe Ostrowski coming up with early odds at 6. Zach Zaidman, 6:15. Cubs pregame. Kyle Hendricks, the tonight score. News that will affect many across Chicago, including our very own Chris Tannehill. Gregory Pratt from the Chicago Tribune. He covers the mayor's office and City Hall reporting. Chicago Public Schools may announce an all-remote learning plan to start the school year as soon as Wednesday, a move that could avert a potential strike from the Chicago Teachers Union, sources said. So CPS will have school, will start on time, will start remotely. There will be no strike, according to the Chicago Tribune.
Okay. Tanny gets to continue to be an educator as well as a father and a radio star.
Yeah. Wow.
I wouldn't call myself an educator.
Right, but you would call yourself all of those
Absolutely,
other things.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I have my own opinions on this, Tanny, from following the story, but it affects you. How are you feeling about that?
I'm only speaking from my own personal experience. My daughter's 6 years old. She's going to start first grade. So I'm just putting that out there right now. My situation is not, you know, there are a lot of people in different situations, different kids, different grade levels. So it affects everyone differently. But speaking only from my experience, this is what I was hoping for, because my wife and I have been talking about it all weekend when our school's principal sent us an email about what they were calling hybrid learning was going to look like. And they were asking parents to sort of make up their minds, like, you know, are you going to attend this hybrid learning, which is you go to school in person a couple days a week. Kids are wearing masks. They're not going from room to room. Recess wasn't quite an option yet that they had figured out the logistics of that. But basically, they're staying in one room all day long, and you know, you're talking about 6-7 year olds. Like, I don't know how practical that is, and you add the masks into it, and you know, these kids just want to be social, and you know what I mean, like, that's part of kids going to school at that age. So there's then a couple of other days of the week they do the remote stuff, which I had been experienced to when the school shut down, so I was cool with that, and I'd gotten to a rhythm with that. But I didn't like the idea that the parents were being put in a position like, what do you guys think? What do you guys want to do? Like, you know, some kids will be doing this and some kids will be doing that, and not everyone has the luxury to be at home. So, like, it was a tough spot for parents to be in, to make that choice, because you're trying to think of what's best for your kid, but you're also trying to think of what's best for teachers and staff members at these schools, because, you know, we all know kids, they carry germs around like crazy, you know? Let's be realistic, especially kids, you know, my kids' age. So you're trying to think about that aspect to it, but this is the ideal scenario, because the worst case thing would be for the teachers to go on strike again, because we lost a significant part of last year to a CPS strike, and this is obviously much different circumstances. But not having the kids learning, like, I don't know, I'm sure a lot of other people, you know, they're starting to feel it again. Maybe you took a little trip over the course of the summer and you're back home and you weren't able to put your kids in a summer camp or have any other extracurricular activities to keep your kids busy. But now, it's as we get towards September here, I think a lot of people are going a little stir crazy again. And the idea of not being able to have your kids do any type of learning, you know, be it remote or otherwise, I think that would have been the worst case scenario. So I'm glad that at least they're leaning towards just do the remote learning. It's the safest way. It's not ideal for kids of all ages, you know, but certainly for my situation, it works. It's going to be difficult again, but I think I'm better equipped this go around than I was in March in terms of, you know, having patience and understanding and being an active, you know, educator, as you guys said. You know, this is a much better scenario than just, hey, let's just send them to school and just see what happens. So
yeah, well, so that's the thing, is I followed this story, you know, just reading the front page of the paper and following it nationally. Like so many things, there hasn't been much of a standardized plan, right? It has been left to schools and districts and municipalities, and it's been very localized. And so there haven't been a lot of answers to questions of, like, if someone in the class tests positive and everyone needs a test, who pays for it? What happens if a teacher tests positive, and what happens to their money? What happens if a teacher has a pre-existing condition and has to opt out? What protections will they have from their union? Like, there are all sorts of questions.
If someone, like, tests positive, you know, in my kid's class or school, like, do all of a sudden do the parents have to quarantine now? You know what I mean? Like, for 2 weeks, like, how does that work? Like, that's a whole, you know, a whole nother set of circumstances there that I just thought of at this moment. Like, what happens in that scenario?
Right. And so there were, just like at the beginning of the pandemic, way more questions than answers. And what is so tough about this is you kind of need kids in school for an economy and a society to function. So, like, I get the argument of schools need to be open. I truly do, because a lot of, like, Tanny, you're in a pretty fortunate situation, right? And
we are. I don't know how long my wife can deal with it. You know, she's been at home since March, and she's doing a great job. But, you know,
if you've got a single parent or two parent household where both parents do have to work and are not working remotely,
or if parents are first responders, you know, like, we thought about that too. Like, what about those parents? You know, so.
So the issue here is that it's not a one size fits all situation. But until you have the answers for the safety stuff, I don't know how you can do it the other way. And some of the things that like my friends who have kids older than us and relatives who have kids older than we do, they were like crowdsourcing it, like asking parents, like, what do you think we should do? And I'm like, whoa, like, they're not qualified to answer, like, protocols for testing and payment and, you know, pods within schools and social distancing and our kids going to wear masks and all of that stuff. So, like, talk about a complicated problem, but at least they're doing it with some lead time so that people can try to make some plans here. School's not supposed to start for a little bit. And again, if you're just joining us, apparently, according to the Tribune, maybe as soon as Wednesday, an announcement that CPS will start the school year with exclusively remote learning, and that will help ward off another teacher's strike in CPS. So just wanted to pass along that news, as it obviously impacts a huge percentage of our audience. As for the baseball issue, Mac, with this is an easier problem to solve. Cubs have a bullpen problem. White Sox have a starting pitching problem. I think the Cubs, just by the nature of the value of the position, are better equipped to overcome it. And you know, I was more bullish on the White Sox this year than I was the Cubs. The Sox have just Kopech opts out, Rodon hurt, Lopez hurt. At some point, you're going to run out of arms, and if there's not going to be an active trade deadline, the guys that you'll be able to acquire are not going to be very good. So you're gonna be relying on like young, unproven guys like Dylan Cease, Dane Dunning, Gio Gonzalez, who isn't very good. Like, starting pitching is just so valuable. I feel like if one team can overcome it, I'd rather have a bad bullpen than a bad starting rotation in this unique Chicago sports situation.
Yeah. So do the White Sox then start to consider their options and maybe move some of their depth, move a piece from that bullpen, as much as you don't like to do it, and maybe another prospect for a big league arm? That's probably where the conversation is going to go. If they go on without interruption and continue to perform at a pretty good level for these next couple of weeks, I suppose Rick Hahn is going to have to try and fortify that rotation.
Yeah, you know, GMs of teams at the front end of their window normally will say, we don't want to mortgage too much of the future for a short-term rental, like if the window is wide open. If it's towards the end of a window, they're more willing to do it for one last chance, or if a team, you know, 3-4 years from now, if the White Sox hadn't had playoff success, hadn't won a pennant, hadn't won a World Series, and it's coming closer to the end of the control of all of these young players, you're maybe going to be a little bit more willing to mortgage the future to maximize that shot. And then you factor in the expanded postseason, so it's going to be even tougher to get through. Yeah. I don't know how much they're going to be willing to part with to take a shot in this crapshoot of a season. And the converse to that, right, the other side of the argument is you don't know how many times you're going to actually get a bite at the apple. So if the White Sox are the one seed, right, say they're the best team in the American League, you're going to try to fortify that roster to maximize this thing, because who knows how many more opportunities you're going to get. But my guess is there's not going to be a lot of trade movement, and the White Sox are not going to be able to add that many significant pieces to this team. That'd be my guess.
Now that the Cubs have seen what Stones of Steel Alec Mills possesses, can you guys do without Q? You want to trade him back to the White Sox? Let's make a deal here. Let's come up with a reasonable trade. What would it take to get
to get Quintana
to get Q back in a White
Quintana.
Sox?
Quintana, you're welcome.
I just want to hear Don Cooper say Quintana again.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, he's hurt, so that's a problem.
He is hurt, but he reported nothing but seashells and balloons when he talked 2 weeks ago.
Right, and I think there's a simulated game coming up here, and so, you know, he's on the path to returning, but he would need to come back and pitch well for the White Sox, for the Cubs to have any value from him. So there's that hurdle to clear. So it's just hard to assign value to him, not knowing how good he is or is not going to be, and when he is or is not going to come back. So, like, how long will you have him on the other side? But that aside, yeah, sure, he has been a little disappointing since he's been a Cub, and his contract's expiring. So if you got anything of value that was on the roster for more than this year and could help Theo thread that needle and make 2021, 22, 23 more competitive, yes, I would trade Jose Quintana back to the White Sox in a heartbeat. I would.
Texter wants to know about the White Sox possibly using Ross Detweiler in a starter's capacity.
Tanny, I'll defer to you.
I think Ricky spoke to that today. He said, I don't think it's going to happen because they want to keep him comfortable, and he's been so great in the role that he's been in. So I think they're going to keep him where he's at. And also, an interesting thing from Ricky's Zoom today is he said that Lopez is going to start his throwing program, and also they're not ruling out just the Rodon thing being like a little hiccup. So, you know, I was surprised to hear that, you know. So they obviously have to wait for, you know, more medical attention to him. But yeah, as far as the Detweiler thing goes, I think he'll stay right where he's at. And why wouldn't you? You know, like, you know, if he's having success there and he can go three or four innings each time, and I think they had him out there last night, so it lines him up perfectly on Rodon's schedule. If they wanted to do that, maybe do, you know, a bullpenning sort of start the next time in the rotation. I think maybe that's an option available to them. But, yeah, I think he said today they're going to keep him right where he's at.
So, I mean, right now you've got, right, Giolito goes tonight, followed by Keuchel, followed by Gio Gonzalez, followed by Dylan Cease, and then there's the question for the Rodon start, right? So we know four of five starters. Do you have a guess as to who that would be for? I mean, would they go to Dane Dunning that soon?
Well, they don't have to call up Dane Dunning right now because it would be, you know, four starts away, you know, so he would just be sitting there, so they wouldn't have to make that
move. I'm not
move.
Saying right now. I'm saying when that turn comes in the rotation, do you have a best guess as to who that is?
I think that makes the most sense, Dane Dunning. Sure.
Okay. By the way, as I look ahead to the schedule, that would be that the Rodon spot in the rotation, assuming I have this correct, and I believe, yes, I do, it would be Saturday, August 8th at the Cell against our guy Zach Plesac and the Cleveland Indians.
Nice.
Yeah, we should get Plesac on the show this Friday.
Yeah, we're trying to.
Okay.
Efforting.
Yeah, let's.
Efforting.
Okay. Excellent. For the remote at Maculand, the socially distanced pool party after the golf course.
Shirtless radio, yeah.
I don't want to scare you all away with my biceps and my pectorals, but very much looking forward to Friday. But yeah, there we go. The Sox have to deal with Zach Plesac again so soon. The schedule's so weird, man. Two-thirds of your games against the division, 40 out of 60. So you get the Indians again just what – 8 days after you last played him. We'll put a bow on this thing before Joe Ostrowski next on the score.
Scored the first goal in game one, and tonight the first two less than 5 minutes in. How much was the focus in this game to get off to such a great start?
Yeah, obviously our start last game was horrible. Probably lost us the game. So I wanted to come out and have a good jump.
Also then, what can the team do differently this time to get a different result? We know the Hawks are the type of team that can answer, but what needs to be done differently this time around?
Well, I think, you know, obviously last game was our start and we've done that. Now we got to carry it through the rest of the game.
All right, thanks for doing this. Good luck in the second.
Doesn't look like Connor really enjoyed the intermission interview. But his team's got the lead.
Yeah, guy plays hockey. He doesn't want to be doing interviews in the game. Best player in the damn sport. He was good last night, Mac.
Short answers. Yeah, he's short answers. He makes himself available. He clearly wasn't interested in it. They weren't the greatest questions in the world either. But, you know, it's not life or death, nonetheless. Sometimes we hockey players seem to treat athletes. We tend to overvalue what we do. All of us do that to a degree, but I was wondering what Pat Foley and Eddie Olczyk were referencing. I walked in to the room after the interview had wrapped up, and they were commenting on McDavid's relative indifference with the interview, and now we know why. Through the help of the Magic Audio Vault, we have our answer.
Yeah, that was those were some brief answers from Connor McDavid, but we might have a developing situation here, Mac, in terms of investment opportunities. And I haven't spoken with my brother Brad or his lovely wife Jen about how comfortable they are or are not about me putting out their business that their 14-year-old son is on a real heater when it comes to picking NBA games against
this very unique Chicago sports situation.
Yeah, but the Pacers were an underdog today against the Orlando Magic. Small, 1.5, 2 points, depending on where you got it. And they are crushing the Magic. Up 20-something points as it approaches halftime. Obviously, anything can happen in an NBA game, but he'd be 5-1 against the spread since it's returned. So, I don't know, maybe we got an NBA handicapper on our hands here. 14 years old.
I think we should get him on if he'd be so inclined. Yeah, they've a little bit less than 6 minutes to go in the second quarter of that game, and the Pacers are leading 57-34.
Hey, I'll take a winner anywhere I can get it. So, you know, doesn't matter who's giving it to me. Doesn't matter what sport. If you've got edge and you've got some insight, I'll tail your action on any sort of sport. So, all right. If this hits, want me to book him for later in the week when he's got another pick?
Yeah, sure. Should we bet Indiana right now as a 15.5 point favorite, leading by 21 points?
I don't know. I already put in the bet at them.
Sorry, I'm looking at this because this is going to introduce me to a new bad habit as the lines are changing. I don't usually play in game. I understand why guys get in problems with this as they're flashing because there's always a new odds.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah. Live betting, man. The Rivers people, they 150 bets. In a game, no problem. Right there on the Rivers app. It's crazy. I love it. I love gambling in game. I love the odds changing. It's great for middling opportunities. You can bet one thing, game goes another way, bet the other side, try to win both bets. It's a really fun way to do it. And they've got that possibility over at Rivers, and people should check it out. But yeah, it's fun. It'll get you going with it.
Ace Rothstein is earning his money tonight.
Look at you. Let's see. So we've got Joe Ostrowski coming up on the show. What do we have? What did you put in for the show pot? What do we have?
We have a small play on the White Sox tonight at +115. That's all we have going tonight, unless Shep has something going that he has not mentioned. Maybe
he doesn't need to tell us.
Maybe we'll double play the White Sox.
That's great. Well, I know that the +111, not great. There were better odds out there for the White Sox. Joe will have all the details on that. I got them with +125 for myself. But, you know, got a line shop it around. But let's see. Thank you to Herb Lawrence helping us out throughout the Scorantine shows. This is what? Scorantine number
102. Yep.
Jeez. Unbelievable. 102 for Scorantine. Thank you, Herb. Nick Shepkowski, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Our guest today, Rex Hudler and Hub Arkish on the show. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. For Dan McNeil, I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
Okay, well, that's about it from yours truly. Thanks for taking all I had to throw at you. I'm spent. But I am now going to make like a banana and split.
He got it.
Okay, before I go, though, promise me you'll remember one thing, yeah? Just remember...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.